The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Bible teacher and author Margaret Feinberg describes how God makes himself known in the midst of difficult times.
You say in the book of Isaiah that your name is wonderful. God, show me your wonder. And what we begin to see is that even in the midst of loss and of pain, that God wanted to reveal his goodness and his faithfulness and his love and his presence.
Learn how to awaken to God's wonder next.
It's always a joy to share this time with you. Life Today, welcome. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I have a very good friend, Margaret Feinberg, and she's got a friend. Now, many of you, she has several friends, but she brought one with her. The thing is that I wrote a book about a little dachshund, and there she is chasing a little bunny rabbit, a little cottontail, and she's having quite a fun time. I wrote The God of All Creation, Life Lessons from Pets and Wildlife, and you ought to get it. It's in the bookstores, but I want to show you what Margaret brought. Would you welcome Margaret Feinberg to Life Today? Now, Margaret, we just had a meal with you, and we did not know, but you had a little purse, a little bag. But it's not an ordinary bag.
No, there are a lot of women who carry lipstick and pens and notepads in their purses. But I like to keep with something a little extra in my bag. And this is little Hershey.
And who is that?
This is Hershey.
Hershey, would you come over here and let me have just a little kiss? Is Hershey going to be friendly? You good sweet puppy. Did you know I'm a dog person? I'm a dog person. There's mama right over there. That is the sweetest dog. That's a poodle.
It is.
Now, what kind of poodle cut would you call that?
That's a puppy cut.
A puppy cut.
The biggest compliment I get is when somebody says, what kind of dog is that? Thank you.
Yeah, that. Well, it's so comfortable because it's close to you. Now, we're going to let one of my staff take Hershey.
Okay.
But do you like pets? Do you love pets? Don't you like them? Well, hey, get the God of all creation and just see the life lessons that I learned from a little dachshund. And boy, has she been a blessing to us for going on 12 years. And she still looks as slick as a seal. And you know what? You're a blessing. And you have written a new book. You are a gifted writer. You are a gifted communicator. But she's written a book called Wonderstruck. And the thing that kind of struck me was that Margaret reached a point in her Christian life while she's speaking and communicating. And by the way, this is an amazing Bible study. And you can get it in the bookstores. You can get it online. If you want Margaret to come, where would they go if they say, we want you to come and speak to our church or to our women's group? How would they contact you?
The best place is through our website at www.margaretfeinberg.com.
All right, there it is on the screen so you can see it. And you can always find, if you miss something by going to lifetoday.org, you can find the information about the guest as well as, get this, you can watch any program of Life Today online anytime you want to, even going back and watch programs in the past. Margaret, I want you to tell me what led you to write this book. And then of all things for, you know, Lifeway, want this to be a Bible study that has already just taken off. What happened to lead you on this journey to write such a book?
Wonderstruck was actually born out of one of the most difficult years of my husband Leif and my life. I don't know if you ever had those years in life when everything is going wrong and you can't make it stop. And you try to outrun it and go really, really fast and it chases you down. And then you try to stand still and shrink and it still finds you. But that for us, that was 2010. And it started innocently enough. I remember my husband was doing some volunteer work and he was driving back, and about 2.5 hours from Denver, our car broke down and we discovered the transmission went out. And that's our only car. And there was no place around there to fix it, and so it had to be towed back. And that the repairs that were supposed to take a week took 3 and cost more than expected. And I remember about the day before we went and picked up that car, I got a call, or actually I went downstairs and I was making up a guest bed. And as I did, I noticed my socks were moist. And I realized that our entire basement had flooded. And so then we have to bring in another repair crew and they start fixing up the basement. And those repairs are supposed to take a few weeks. They end up taking 6 weeks and costing twice as much. And just as we're about to get things fixed, I get a call from our accountant and he announces that we've been embezzled. And now we're responsible to pay most of the previous years and into the year before that taxes plus penalties and interest all over again. And just as we're trying to wrap our heads and our minds and our hearts around all that's happening, I get a call from the doctor. And the doctor says, Margaret, you need to come in for another round of tests. And I said, well, I was in, what, a year ago? What do you mean? And he said, when you took those tests, they were inconclusive, and you need to come back in. So I go back in, and I go through a round of tests, and I sit in the doctor's office, and I go, well, what's going on? What's the issue? And he says, I don't know. And I looked at him, and I said, well, do I have cancer? And he says, I don't know. You need to see a specialist. So as you know, getting into a specialist isn't something that happens overnight. So we're waiting another 6 to 8 weeks to get into that specialist. We finally get into that doctor, go through another round of tests, go into the doctor's office, and I go, so what's going on here? And he looks at me and he says, I don't know. And I ask him, I go, do I have cancer? And he goes, I don't know. And I'm thinking, what do you mean you don't know? You are a doctor. You are not supposed to be practicing, not now. And it takes several months to get into the super specialist. And meanwhile, we've got clients who aren't paying. We have family member died. We've got relationships that are turning sour that we can't explain. And everything is going wrong, and we can't make it stop. And the desire out of my heart at that time, it wasn't a prayer for more faith or a prayer for more trust. It was a prayer for wonder. It was this desire saying, God, I want to know you even in the midst of this as wonderful. You say in the book of Isaiah that your name is wonderful. God, show me your wonder. And my husband Leif and I, we just began praying day in, day out. God, show us your wonder. Show us your wonder. Show us your wonder. And what we began to see is that even in the midst of loss and of pain, that God wanted to reveal his goodness and his faithfulness and his love and his presence. I remember that there was this moment that I was in the kitchen and I was slicing vegetables. And after all of this just happened, it just kept on happening. I just broke. And I don't know if you know what it's like to be at the point when you can't take it anymore. It's like life has just sucker punched you and you can't make it stop. And all of a sudden I was in there and I was just slicing those vegetables and those tears, they just started to run. And I couldn't pack them away anymore. And I just started sobbing to the point that I fell down on that kitchen floor, just weeping. And finally, I remember I rolled over into my back and I began lifting my arms above my head. It was like I was making snow angels on the kitchen floor. You know, I don't know about your kitchen floor, but mine feels a lot like a beach. It's all grimy and kind of dirty down there. And I'm sitting there making this motion. And as I did, there was this prayer that began to emerge, even in the deepest recesses of my soul. And for the first time in my life, I started to get a glimpse of what the scripture means in Romans 8:26, when it describes that there are times in life when we don't know what to pray, and the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. And the prayer that emerged was simply this: God is good. God is on the throne. Breathe in, breathe out. God is good. God is on the throne. Breathe in, breathe out. And as I began praying this again and again, eventually I was able to pull myself up off of that kitchen floor. But for the next few weeks, it's all I could pray. It's all I had to offer to God. And I just kept over and over. And I made me think, God, what is this prayer? What is this prayer that you have planted, that you have seeded in me through the power of the Holy Spirit? I started to look at it, and it is that basic foundational declaration, God is good. That no matter what bad happens in this life, no matter what trials and adversity and difficulties that we face, that our God remains good. And some of us times as believers, we just have to keep making that declaration, that bold proclamation that God is good, even in the face of what seems so bad. And not just that God is good, but that God is on the throne, that he is sovereign, he is all-powerful, he is in control, that when we are so out of control, he is still on that throne, and that we breathe in and we breathe out. and we choose to keep breathing, we choose to keep living, we choose to keep moving forward. And sometimes that very breath, that is a prayer in its own. And so going through this difficult time, I began to encounter and start to see God in ways I hadn't expected. And even when that storm finally started to abate, you know, even after we got the transmission in the car fixed and we got the basement redone and we finally managed to start paying back the IRS, and I finally got into that super specialist doctor and I found out that I didn't have cancer, mm-hmm. I remember there was this day that I was driving down the road. It was 6th Avenue in Denver. And as I did, I had a thought pop into my mind that was not my own. It was like the Holy Spirit was speaking, and he said, I am with you even in this. And I remember driving down that road, and I was going, God, wait a second, even in what? Like, have we not been through enough? Have we not faced enough heartache and challenges and difficulty, and this just hasn't stopped? What do you mean, even, is my house on fire? Is my husband okay? Where's the dog, you know? And so I remember I drove, and I got in, like, that slow lane, right? I'm like, you know, Mack trucks are going by, you know, meep, meep, and I'm like, I'm just trying to get home safely, and I get home, and there's no smoke, and I go downstairs, and I'm like, Leif, is everything okay? And he's like, yeah, why? And I go, where's the dog? You know, and Hershey's asleep on the couch. And I remember for a few weeks, I was living just almost in a fearful sense of, you know, before I'd leave the house, I'd go back in and I'd make sure that stove was off like four times, the iron was unplugged, or I didn't want anything bad to happen. And eventually life returned to normal. I go to light the barbecue and I go, and, you know, normal life. And I remember sometime later I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what was that? What was that? I believe that was from you. You said, I am with you even in this. I know those I am statements in Exodus 3 echo throughout the Gospels. Jesus makes those I am statements again and again. I believe you have spoken, I am with you. But even in this, what do you mean? And I sense the Holy Spirit say, Margaret, I am with you even in the aftermath. Even after the storm has passed and you're in that process of rebuilding and restoring, when you're still struggling over all the questions of why this has happened and you're seeking your restoration from me, I am with you even in this.
Wow. Well, we're finding that out, Betty, and I, of course, our viewers know, and I know you know, toughest challenge in our life was losing our youngest daughter. And I went through those processes of wondering, where's God? How could our daughter who never doubted, how could a daughter that lived the perfect, exemplary Christian life before everyone who knew her for the 40 years she was on this earth, how could she who believed, I win, and of course she did, how could she be gone? And I'm watching God bind it up, but it hurts so bad. And you going through your frustration, Betty and I hurt so bad. I told Betty, if I didn't know God so well, if I didn't love him so much and know he loves me, I would not like God. I don't think I'd even believe in God. That's how bad we hurt.
But I think the wonder that you're talking about is that he is there. He never leaves us. Mm-hmm. And his love is sufficient. And his grace is sufficient. And his comfort is awesome.
It is. Do you know, during this time, I had long tried to avoid Job in the Bible. I always kind of imagined him like Pigpen from the Charlie Brown comic strip series. Like, you don't want to get too close to him, lest that wear off on you. And yet, as I began looking at Job's story and all the difficulties and the pain and the loss, which makes mine look about this big, but as I read that, I began to see that throughout those first 37 chapters of Job, time and time again, Job and the people that he are surrounded by are asking these questions of why. Why has this happened? Why has this happened? But in chapter 38, when God finally breaks the silence, he raises such a different question. In Job chapter 38, it says, then the Lord who spoke to Job out of the storm, and he said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? You see, Job and those who have surrounded him have been wrestling with the questions we wrestle with, and that is the question of why and how and what. And yet God meets them in the who. And it is that holy who of God's presence that even if we get an answer to all of our why and our how and our what questions, that one whole remains. And it is the holy who of God's presence. And we encounter it, we can cry out, woo, even in the midst of the pain and the loss and the adversity.
He can handle our questions. He's anxious to heal our hurt. And I think that when someone has been through this process, I know that what Betty and I are convinced of, Margaret, is that we're going to spend the rest of our lives seeking to touch the suffering, point people to Christ, win them to the Lord Jesus. We want everyone to go where our daughter is in heaven. We want everyone to have what God offers through His Son, Jesus. But we also want to spend our lives being a part of binding up broken hearts. And you may wonder, why am I watching today? Why did I just happen to turn here? To be wonderstruck, to be able to identify with someone who identifies with you, and maybe to hear me talk about the unbearable pain without God that we've experienced as parents with the loss of a child, a wonderful mother. To go through that and to see God heal, the process of healing, the binding of the broken heart, we're here for you. Jesus was sent for you. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live in you, to lift you up, to lighten that load, to brighten your dark moments. Father, I pray for every person that they will be wonderstruck in the most beautiful way possible by the wonder of your greatness and your love, and that they will receive your love, your sufficiency, your forgiveness, your divine enabling power to overcome and to be lifted by love out of any point or pit of despair and be placed on a solid rock of your truth, your love, and your wisdom. In Jesus' name. Anytime you want someone to pray with you, you want someone to agree with you, Betty, our counselors care.
Yes, they do.
The people that work here are people that have gone through heartache that can identify. We have many people who call us, I just need somebody to talk to. Well, somebody's here, and the call's paid for by the love of God through someone. And we're asking you today if you'd like to have this book. It's in the bookstores. There is, again, Margaret's website. If you want her to come or you want to get the Bible study of Wonderstruck and begin to do it in your church group or your study group or your neighborhood, do it. And we'll be glad to send you the book today if you will do something we ask you to do, and that is to help us rescue people who are being trafficked right now by sex predators. And we can turn it around. I want you to watch. This is going to touch your heart as much as anything perhaps you've ever seen. And you are the answer to this problem. And you'll want to be.
Daughters, what a precious gift. You want the very best for them. Yem, mother of two, thought she found it.
Thinking that someone's going to take care of your kids and give them a better life than you can give them, and then finding out that they're going through the most horrendous evil that could ever possibly happen.
It was the promise of a life she couldn't provide. What it meant was letting them go. What it became was something altogether different. Her oldest managed to make it back home, but almost unrecognizable from the abuse, and in a condition which quickly took her life. Yem's youngest daughter has neither been found nor heard from again.
sex trafficking has completely ruined her whole life, her family. She has nothing. She has no children here. She has two beautiful daughters, and all she has is the pictures to look at. We have to help her. No mom should ever have to face this. This mom is living it. We have to help her.
Somebody's precious girls.
Yeah, James, as I was watching that, I think evil looks for vulnerability. It looks for the helpless to destroy, seeks to destroy. And this precious mother thought she was doing what was best for her daughters. She wanted them to have a better life. What parent wouldn't? We always want the best for our children. But she was deceived. Evil came and took her children. And now she weeps. Her heart is broken. And I think that's just one example of what's happening to these children. They need hope. They need someone to care for them. They need a place to go to lay their heads and rest.
You know, one of the girls that you saw, obviously was blinded in one eye. A lot of the little children that we rescue in places like Mumbai and other places of poverty, they'll get these little children and they'll cut their hand off or they'll blind them so they become better beggars. I don't know how she was blinded, but she was obviously abused. But then the other little girl, that other daughter, they don't know where she is. And Betty, I couldn't help but think that wouldn't it be wonderful if we could find her daughter and at least show her she's going to be okay. And then you need to know that we get those girls like that that we find, and we're able to give them a home. And when I say we, please understand we. Betty and I support every outreach of life because we believe in it. And many of the outreaches we believe in because of people like you. You showed us something that needed to be done. And you said, James, would you help? And I said, well, I'll help if we can get others to join us. And you do. And you really wanted to do this. You wanted to rescue these girls. And amazingly, it costs only $128 to rescue a child. That's to get a woman or a child out and then take care of them. And that actually includes being able to get secure facilities. Even sometimes it means building it. And when you build it, then you ask viewers to help us do it. And we've been able to build some incredible life centers. We're going to ask you to help restore one that has been damaged by fire and actually enlarge it because it's so effective. But you see, what we're doing is we're rescuing those girls that are going to have happen just what happened there. Somebody told that mother, we're going to give your girls a future. And they destroyed their future and their lives. Can't even find one of them. Would you now say, I will rescue a girl, a child? Sometimes it's boys that are trafficked. And it costs $128. Would you make that gift? Or would you make as large a gift toward that as you can? Because I believe others will join you. If there's any way you could help us rescue 10, make a $1,280 gift. Would you do that? You know, multiply what that woman needed by five. I mean, just do that and get the 10. Would you help us? And then would you help us restore and expand the life center that burned in the Ukraine, where our wonderful missionaries who lost their little newborn son, Joshua. The McCanns are the greatest lovers of children we've ever seen for the glory of God. We need to rebuild that life center. We need $275,000. That's additional. God, would you touch 275 people to give $1,000? Would you, Father? Would you be one of them? God's touched your heart. Could you give $1,280 to say, I'm going to rescue 10? Whatever you can do, $128 will rescue one of them. Dial the number, please. Take your bank card, use it like a check. Would you do that? Or you can go online, lifetoday.org, or write a check. But call us and tell us what you're doing. And thank you so much. We have some beautiful gifts for you to bless you and help you because we love you and we want to bless your life. As you bless others, we will be saying thank you by blessing you.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent boys and girls, many very young, are being forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can help reach, rescue, and restore thousands of children from the horrors of the sex trade in Thailand, Cambodia, India, Ukraine, and many other nations. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help reach, rescue, and restore one more child from the horrors of their kidnappers. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Free to Be Me, Betty Robison's updated account of how she moved from fear and insecurity to true freedom. You'll also receive the companion journal for your quiet time and daily reflections. With your gift of $128 or more to help rescue a child, be sure to request your copy of the Life Application Study Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help rebuild the Life Center in Ukraine destroyed by fire, or $1,280 to help rescue 10 children, and you may request the limited edition bronze sculpture titled Christian. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
From the depth of our heart, Betty and I just say thank you. We say thank you to Margaret for taking us on her journey. We say thank you for the way you pray for Betty and for me. We'll be glad to send you Wonderstruck if you just help us rescue some of these girls, some of these children. Would you say thanks to Margaret Feinberg? What a blessing you are, Margaret. You've been one of our best friends for a long time. And you want to know how to get a hold of her? Well, we've given you a website. And you can go on lifetoday.org and get any information you want. Thank you so much for helping us rescue these precious girls and children. God bless you.
God's love is overwhelming, but if you can just get a hold of a little bit of it.
Best-selling author and pastor, Dr. David Jeremiah, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.